Hey Builders, this is Rob. Just wanted to check in with you real quick before we get into the show and remind you about GrandCon. GrandCon is our favorite local convention. It's coming up on September 19th to the 21st, 2014. We went last year and we had a blast. Really, it was one of the most fun con experiences for me and Jason last year in 2013. So we are super, super excited about GrandCon for this year, for 2014. It's in a new spot. It's at the Crown Plaza Hotel and Convention Center. That's at 5728 Street Southeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan. If you are in the Southwest Michigan area or are willing to drive to Southwest Michigan, come to GrandCon. It is a blast. Last year was so good. I'm sure this year's only going to get better. Let me actually go through some of the guest lists that we've got lined, or excuse me, that they have lined up this week or this year. A lot of these guys I don't know, but I'm not in the know. You know, let's see. We've got John Alderink, Gary Scott Beatty, Jeff D., Dave Dorman. Now, Dave Dorman, I know. I've actually had a print by Dave Dorman, a Star Wars print, hanging on the wall in my office for probably the last 15 years. So that's cool. Let's see. We got Sam Eggleston, Matt Forback, Rob Garcia, Jeff Grubb. He's a game designer. He did campaign settings for AD&D and the original Marvel Superheroes game. Worked on Forgotten Realms and Dragonlance, pretty cool stuff. We have Ed Greenwood, Bradley McDevitt, Mark McKenna, that's a name that you should know. He did art for Batman, Wolverine, Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, and did some stuff on for Star Wars. Pop Mahan, Mark Nelson, Paul Peterson. Hey, we know Paul Peterson. He's one of the judges for the Deathmatch. He made Smash Up and Unexploded Cow, and he's working on Pathfinder right now. I could go on. There's a huge list of guests that they've got coming, both game designers and comic artists. It's pretty exciting stuff. GrandCon, September 19th to the 21st, 2014, Crown Plaza Hotel and Convention Center, 5728 Street Southeast, Grand Rapids. This year, Jason and I are going to be there. We're excited about it. We had a blast last year. We want to see you there this year. So come and check it out. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, August 11th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 115. My name is Rob. Sitting over there is Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
We're in a hurry tonight. We're crunched for time for recording. We've been having some issues. We're testing our mobile setup again for recording. So if we sound a little weird, I'm sorry.
It's because we're doing the mobile setup.
Yeah, from a different location right now, just trying to make sure we're ready for Gen Con. And we've spent about an hour trying to make it work, which means our schedule is running out of time quickly. So this might be a slightly snappier episode than you're used to, but I think that's okay. Gen Con pre-show. I mean, we just kind of want to take some time here, like we've done the last couple of years, and chat a bit about some of the games we're looking forward to seeing.
Yes.
Yeah, and then hit up some Twitter questions and site comments and that kind of stuff here. So how have you been lately?
Pretty good. You?
You hurt your leg.
I did hurt my leg.
Which is extremely funny on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people saw that. I was trying to change a tire, the flat tire, and I was standing on the lug wrench because they use those air compressor guns to lock those.
Yeah, and man, they crank those things on there.
They sure do, yeah. I'm jumping up and down on it, and finally I felt it break free and also felt something go snap inside my tendons or something.
Something.
Yeah, so that was pretty sweet. I pretty much hopped on one leg or crawled on my knees to finish changing a tire on the side of a busy highway.
You toughed it out, though, and
yeah.
You finished.
Well, I had to. My kids were in the car with my wife, so... So it was pretty crappy. But we made it work, and So I was hobbling around, very, very nervous that I would be hobbling at Gen Con, but I'm hopeful because today, by the end of the day, I'm doing much better.
Good.
Than I was yesterday. So even at work, people were noticing that I was limping quite a bit this morning, mm-hmm. and as the day progressed, I kept stretching my leg. And
yeah.
I also kind of figured out how to walk in a different way.
How to adjust your gait.
Yeah. Which kind of stinks because now like my shin hurts from like adjusting and walking.
It's going to throw off everything. Your shoulders will be all out of whack. Your hips will be messed up. Oh man, it's going to ruin your life basically. Yeah.
So hopefully in a couple of days it's better.
Right. But if anybody sees you limping at Gen Con, that's why.
Yes. Right. So I was being heroic. So you can't make fun of me because I was busy being heroic.
Well, I was still making fun of you.
Yeah, but, well, that's because it's you.
But. Right. But yeah, we're excited. Gen Con's coming up here. I think this is my seventh or eighth year in a row.
Yeah. I don't
remember exactly, but yeah, I think, when was the first time, when did we do HoboCon? Was that 2008?
Eight.
So this is 2014, so that's 6 years, and we went with, so this is my seventh year.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
And this is, I started going in 2004.
Yeah.
So that makes this my 11th year going, right?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I would like to continue to go every year whenever possible.
Absolutely, me too. How soon do you think you're going to get your son to go?
We'll see. My wife and I talked about that. I want to make sure he's going to be able to appreciate it and have fun. So I think what we'll first try is like they'll come down on a Sunday or a Saturday.
For the family fun day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even Saturday he comes down, spends a few hours in the hall with us, walks around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Steph can just drop him off, let him run around with me. And then they can go to the zoo or something else afterwards, you know. But I think he's going to have to be 6 or 7 before we do that just because... Yeah. Otherwise, it's just not going to be like, you know.
It's going to be fun for him. It's going to be real not fun for you.
And Gen Con, as fun as it is, Gen Con for us has become kind of a business thing, too, between the podcast and talking to publishers and stuff. So, you know, you're going to have time for that. So, yeah. So it's tough, you know?
Yeah.
But once he's old enough, I hope he enjoys it. So he likes playing games, at least the ones he understands.
Mm-hmm.
He likes the word games. He says, "Let's play a game, Daddy." But since he's 2.5, there's not many games he can play.
Sure. So, it's a little early. You
know, we play Don't Break the Ice, and that's fun.
Yeah, you talked about that before.
And I got an electric game at a garage sale recently called something Duck Pond or something, and it's... You know those old fishing games you would use?
Yeah, the little magnet fish that open and close?
It's like that, but for younger kids. So there's you just pick up the ducks, and they have colors on the bottom, and you're trying to collect 3 red ones. So it lets him work on colors, dexterity of picking the things up, and, you know... We mostly use games to teach him to wait for his turn.
So that's
kind of the big thing. So we'll be sitting at a stoplight and he'll say, "Daddy, is it our turn yet?" Which cracks me up. Like, that's not funny. Yet, buddy, not yet.
That's funny. Cool.
So what's going on with me? Anything special with you?
No. Since we've been back from our big trip, we've been kind of, I don't know, just trying to catch up on life, you know? Like, my wife was out of town last week. So we were gone for a week, and then we had a weekend at home. Then she went out of town last weekend to see some friends. So I had the whole weekend, just a bachelor weekend, which was pretty nice. Yeah, just lying on the couch and staring at the TV. Played some video games, you know. Working on game stuff, too, though. I've put a lot of time into Innkeepers. I'm also helping our buddy Andy Lennox, doing some layout stuff for him for his game Zushido.
Right.
I'm really enjoying doing that for him. So hopefully, if you see Andy... And hopefully he'll have a copy of Zushido with him, assuming I get it done. So check it out, because then you'll know that I did the icon and the layout design for that. So that's been fun. Other than that, though, I mean, just obviously I have a new project before Gen Con, which is to get this audio stuff worked out.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty important.
Well, if we can find some converter cables, I think we can do what we need to do.
I don't know. I think we're going to have to go see Steve. Yeah,
since it's a trip to see Steve at Guitar Center one of the days this week lunch. Forming
Steve. We haven't talked to Steve in at least a year, though, so maybe it's time.
Yeah.
Go check in with Steve.
Yeah. Well, hey, he's crazy and he's annoying to talk to sometimes because like he wants to talk a lot. But I'll tell you what, Steve knows his crap.
He sure does.
So he's never led us astray.
Yeah.
The only thing he's ever tried to do is sell us something that was too good for us.
Right.
And that's because he believes that we're good enough for those things. Right. He's wrong,
Yeah, so we'll have to ask Steve about recording solutions to get around all these computer issues we're having.
Yeah.
And ask him about that mic with a short in it, see if it's something that's worth repairing.
Right.
Because I think his mic's only had like a 90-day warranty on him.
Yeah, probably.
So, I don't know. We've had him a couple of years now. Anyway, we might as well roll into games, right?
Yeah, let's talk about games we're excited for at Gen Con.
Yeah. Yeah. You want me to go first?
Sure.
We just went through a list. We've done this last couple of years, too. A list we found on BGG of upcoming games. I think it's generally new releases that are going to be either new releases or pre-releases that are open for play and testing. I'm not sure which category a lot of these fall into, but... First thing that I saw on that list was Heroes Wanted from Action Phase Games. Description says, or I guess the setup. You saw the ad in today's Tribune. The certainty flooded over you. At last, this is your chance. The reason for all your training, all that work waterproofing your utility belt and practicing your one-liners will finally pay off. You call into work sick, feed the cat, and turn on your police scanner, waiting nervously for the first call. Or at least the call that's close enough for you to get there first. So you're a new superhero trying to get out there. A tactical board game for 1 to 5 superhero hopefuls attempting to fulfill their dreams of becoming a member of Zeta City's exclusive crime-fighting super team. I don't really know a whole lot else about it, but a tactical game for 1 to 5 superheroes, that's cool. 1 to 5, you know?
Yeah.
So, I feel like I've been kind of seeing a trend with more games that are playable solo, and that, that I think is a cool trend, and I'm interested in seeing more of that.
I think so too. You listed everything about the game. I did not. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the games. Longhorn is one I want to check out. It's by my homeboy, Bruno Cathala. Him and I are BFFs. Yep. So
he doesn't know it, but...
He doesn't know it.
You are.
He thinks I'm a cool guy. I mean, he probably doesn't remember me, but when he talked to me, he seemed to think I was a cool guy.
Right.
But anyways, this game is a two-player game set in the Wild West where you're trying to collect cattle and stuff, Longhorn cattle. And I will play any two-player game by Bruno Cathala, especially after playing Phantom of the Opera. I will trust him always. Mm-hmm. So the game is $25 and it's in limited quantities.
You're
going to probably
it.
Just go buy it
because
I don't want to miss out.
Yeah.
And he'll be there, I'm sure, so he'll sign it and stuff. And then
yeah,
I think excuse to talk to him some more. So.
Yeah, saw something about that.
Yeah, I might buy it and then go sit down and have him demo it for me so I know how to play it because I'm lazy like that.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Next one I had was Istanbul from AEG. In Istanbul, you lead one merchant and four assistants. There it is. Through 16 locations in the bazaar. At each such location, you can carry out a specific action. The challenge, though, is that to take an action, you must move your merchant and an assistant there, then leave the assistant behind to handle all the details while you focus on larger matters. If you want to use that assistant again later, your merchant must return to that location to pick him up. Thus, you must plan ahead carefully to avoid being left with no assistants and thus unable to do anything. I think that sounds like a really cool idea for... to take an action, you need this guy. You know, you can send your dude anywhere, but in order to do something, you need to leave a guy behind to get that stuff done. Then you got to go back and get him before you can do anything. So it's kind of like, assigning units to do things, to take actions in the game, and then your units don't just come back to you automatically. You got to go back and get them. That sounds like kind of a cool approach.
That is cool.
So that sounded neat to me.
Cool. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
My next game is Constantinople. I'm just kidding. That was just a
reference.
Schlocky joke about
moving on.
Yeah. So, anyways, my next game is kind of a cop out because of course I want to check this game out. It's Fidelitas. I backed it on Kickstarter, and anytime the designer can teach me how to play it, and I don't have to read the rules, I'm all in. So
right.
So I've been really wanting to get a chance to play it. I missed Katarski at Origins. I mean, we were there. We saw him, but we didn't get the chance to play it. So I'm really interested. I also missed a chance to play it somehow at Unpub as well. So I don't know. Maybe I don't actually want to play it. I don't know.
Because you don't
Screw
seem to
you,
have been
Katarski.
Making much
really
effort
to
play.
Yeah. But hey, plug, that's on Kickstarter. It's doing really well. So it's funded. So yeah.
Good. Yeah. Well, congratulations to those guys. The next one I have on my list is Pagoda from AEG, just because people keep saying, hey, Innkeepers, that's kind of like Pagoda, right? And I feel like it's time that I...
Right.
I've heard it's a really fun game.
Though people that have played both have said that it's not
the same. It's not the same game, right.
So...
But, yeah, so...
Yours looks a lot simpler than yours does.
I think it is.
A little more elegant. Right. Just kidding.
Thanks.
Simpler. Which I don't think always means more elegant, so...
Often. Well, not always, but it can be.
A simple game that is not good.
Yeah. So Pagoda, I don't need to get into that a whole lot, though, I don't think.
Go ahead and do one more, because you have more games than I do.
Okay. Equinox from Asmodee Games. Basically, I just thought that had a really cool logo on the box, and I'm a sucker for good logo design. It's just some kind of an abstract tile placement game. I like tile games also, so I don't know much else about it, but it looked neat.
Cool.
So
the next game on my list is called Lighthouse Run.
Mm-hmm. I saw that. That's racing sailboats.
Yeah, sailboats, and it's got lighthouses that actually light up. I believe.
The
original prototype did. So here's why I know this, because we talked before about the original people that bought Gunslinging Ramblers.
Yeah,
he's actually friends with that. Those two guys are friends because he told me that I should check the game out, and I wanted to, but I just that was Origins 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I didn't get a chance to. because of the whole I had to come back home because I'm losing my job thing. So, so anyways, I want to get a chance to check it out this year. Mm-hmm. I hope it still has the light up lighthouses thing, because I thought that was a really cool way to like, that was not a gimmicky way to like
do easily, some kind of electronic thing.
Because it actually made the game easier because the lighthouses were lit. Like there was no like which one. I mean, clearly it's these two. Mm-hmm. I'm in the game, at least the way it was before. You're trying to get your guys moved over, like your boats moved through this channel.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way to do that is if the lighthouse is lit up. So, and only two of the five can be lit up at any time. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly trying to move which one is lit to push your guy through and then move it back. Mm. So,
cool.
Looks pretty cool.
Right on. Next on my list, you know, I want to say blanket out here. I want to play as many of the deathmatch games as I can, right? Because
right.
Last year I didn't have a chance to play any of them. I didn't play a single one, unfortunately. So I'm going to be getting together with a lot of my fellow deathmatch contestants. But the two, I'll just lump these two together, of course, because they were the ones that won.
Right.
I really want to play Penny Press, and I really want to play Discount Salmon.
Yeah. Those I'd like to try as well if possible. So.
Yeah, Discount Salmon, of course, is a speed game, which stresses you and I out both. We've talked about that before. So right. I'm a little apprehensive about playing that because I'm so bad and get so stressed out at those games. But I want to give it a try because right. It's great. Everything I've heard is that it's great. And then Penny Press is a game that seems right up my alley.
Yeah, me too. I think that looks really good.
So I'm super pumped. I remember talking to those guys about it last year. And again, never had a chance to play it, but everything that they were telling me about how it worked just sounded super exciting and different and unique. So, those are next on my list then.
The next one on my list, which I think is on your list too, actually, is Five Tribes.
Yeah.
You mentioned it to me because I missed it when I looked through. So I went back and looked, and that looks like a lot of fun. If you want to read the description, you
can. Let me find it in my list here. Here we go. From Days of Wonder. This is another one by Bruno. Five Tribes builds on a long tradition of German-style games that feature wooden meeples. Here, in a unique twist on the now-standard worker placement genre, the game begins with the meeples already in place, and players must cleverly maneuver them over the villages, markets, oases, and sacred places tiles that make up Nakala, I think is the name of the land? I don't know. How, when, and where you displace these five tribes of assassins, elders, builders, merchants, and viziers determine your victory or failure. The rules are straightforward and easy to learn, but devising a winning strategy will take a more calculated approach than our standard fare. You need to carefully consider what moves. Anyway, so it sounds like it's kind of in the vein of it's a unique style worker placement game, which right. is super exciting. Days of Wonder, I think, makes great games.
Yep.
Small World, the production quality of Small World, I think, right. is second to none. And it sounds like this is going to be in line with that kind of right. approach.
And yeah, good designer, good company, mm-hmm. cool theme, good twist on a mechanic. It's hard to not get all over that, right?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Next on my list, Castles of Mad King Ludwig from Bezier Games. It's another tile laying game where you're laying down tiles to build castles like Neukenwinstein. I don't know how it's pronounced. Whatever.
Wow.
I don't know. Anyway, it's that crazy fantasy castle that the Disney castle is based off of that's in the hills in Bavaria and that we've all seen.
Yes.
Yes.
When you see it, you're like,
oh, yeah, that one.
Build a Disney castle in Bavaria.
Right.
Oh, wait, no.
Yeah. Anyway, tile laying game, building castles. That's, again, tile laying game up my alley. I'm down with that 100%. Yep.
The last one I have on my list is Farm Fun, which actually is not a new – well, it's a newer game, I think. And this will probably be a buy for me. It's an adult game, but you can play it with kids. So you're rolling dice, and they have pictures of animals on them, I believe. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the board is a bunch of squishy animals.
Oh, yeah. That's the one that Kopak. Chris Kopak was talking about.
And it looked like a lot of fun. And I know that Tiffany Bonson found it, too, and thought mm-hmm. it was really cool. And so I want to check that out at Gen Con, because I think that's one that I could play my kid with. I mean, we obviously wouldn't play it as a speed game, but, you know, right. like we'd play, like, you roll the dice. Oh, look, here's the cow. Get the cow, you know, and that kind of thing. So
sure.
I think that would be fun.
That would be fun. That's a good idea.
So
that was the last one on your list?
Yeah.
Man, you're just...
I mean... obviously, there's tons of unpumped games and stuff I want to check out.
But, yeah.
I mean, these are, you know, those are the main ones. Games I want to check out.
All right. Well, I've got several more on my list here.
I know you do.
Pay Dirt from Crash Games.
Yeah, that does look pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a engine building worker placement game. It's I don't know if it's technically inspired by that Gold Rush TV show.
I just kind of assumed. Right,
I assume that it is. Have right. you seen Gold Rush on the Sky
A little
show?
Bit. I know you love that
show.
Oh,
man. That is some of the best train wreck reality television of all time. I love the crap out of that show because it's such garbage. Those guys on that show are idiots. Nice. They're just total morons. And I love it. And so a game that might recall some of that, I'm on board for. I would love to try that. I think I wanted to try it last year. I think he had a proto version of that,
yeah,
or pre-release version of that.
And that's Tori Neiman, too, who
is
a very good designer.
Yeah, so I want to try that. Well, our audio issues continue with the memory card we were just recording to filled up. So, starting over, Tortuga. In Tortuga, you are a... This is from Queen Games. In Tortuga, you are a swashbuckling buccaneer. Buccaneer! I always love that word.
Buccaneer.
Buccaneer.
I know, you love that
word. There was a pirate selling corn by the road, and this guy stopped and said, "Hey,
how much
is there corn?" And the pirate said, "Buccaneer."
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's my uncle's favorite joke. You are a swashbuckling buccaneer trying to safely transport your treasures to the legendary pirate haven of Tortuga before other buccaneers, your fellow players, can capture it from you. Players simultaneously roll their dice and assign them in order to put boats in the water, fire off the cannons, gather more crew, engage the enemy at close quarters, or move their treasure ever closer to safety. Players are rewarded for their ability to adapt and their quick decision-making skills. A little luck and a hint of greed never hurt a buccaneer either. Okay, pirate game. I'm down. I'll play a pirate
game.
Sounds
all right.
Yeah. Our buddy Michael Keller is going to have City Hall there. City Hall is being published now by Tasty Minstrel, so I think we're finally going to get a chance to play City Hall, which I'm excited about. What else do I have here? Looks like that was the last one on my list. So those are the ones that we are looking forward to at Gen Con this year.
Yeah.
Want to try and play them.
I'm not sure if he's still working. Michael Keller's still working on frozen concentrated orange juice, but I've heard that is pretty good. He had that this year at Unpub.
Unpub, okay.
And it looked cool. I didn't get to play it because we were busy, but it looked cool. So.
Cool. Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Of course, there are innumerable other games, lots of which were on the BGG list. But, of course, every year there are new stuff. There's new stuff that we see that we find out about that was not on the list. We didn't know what to expect. I think it's probably safe to say, as in past years, what we're most excited about is the stuff we don't know about, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Always is. Always is the best.
Right. We've got some Twitter questions and some site comments to talk about.
Lots of those.
So. Yeah.
All right, lots of stuff, it looks like, from Chevy Dodd, unless he's just...
that guy's just spamming us. We can skip all his.
I don't know, but... all right, so first, from Eric Handler, he said, what do you expect when you're expecting, Gen Conning for the first time? What to expect? I guess my first point of advice is that Gen Con is way bigger than you probably think it is.
Yeah.
So even if people told you, Gen Con's really big, it's bigger than that.
Right.
Yep.
Be okay with that.
Yep.
Don't get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Because that's easy to do.
And, you know, for your first time, schedule some things.
Mm-hmm. Not too much.
Yeah, not too much. But feel free to schedule some things because it will kind of give you, you know, we talked about this on the episode with Chris Kopak. It kind of gives you some waypoints, right?
Yeah.
So if you're kind of lost, you're like, I'm not sure what to do right now. Hey, you've got a couple things scheduled you go check out. But, you know, we hardly schedule anything now.
Right. Yeah, maybe a couple of things a day. I would say no more than two things a day. Schedule them. Even if they're just things you need generic tickets for or... schedule things, but be willing to be flexible if something else, if you're in the middle of something else that you're enjoying and you don't want to leave, or if something else pops up that you'd rather do, be willing to be flexible. Anything you can use generic tickets for, that's a good idea, because generic tickets, if you don't go to that thing, well, you can still use them for something else later. Or even better, things that are not, that don't cost tickets, like our live show, which will not cost you any tickets to attend.
It's true.
Right. So, So absolutely good advice there.
Matt Warden says, "What is your biggest have to make it to booth this year at Gen Con?" I don't really have a biggest have to make it to thing. I mean, other than I mentioned that Longhorn I heard is in limited quality, so you know, that makes me want to make sure that I
I don't think I've ever had a must visit booth ever.
I think I have. I can't think of off the top of my head, but I think I have.
Yeah. I don't know. I think in the old days, before I went, was really going a lot to Gen Con, more companies would have good freebies and things that they would give out. And so you'd want to run to that one booth right away, first thing, and get that free giveaway. And they don't really do that anymore.
I think it's got so much bigger that people are just like, ah, screw it. I'm not going to try and bring enough stuff to give away. Yeah. There's just no reason to.
Yeah, the swag is not as good now as it used to be. But that's because there's so many more attendees.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Flip the Table, Chris from Flip the Table specifically says, as designers, how do you balance doing fun stuff at Gen Con with serious business of promoting a game? I think that's kind of fun to me, too.
Yeah, you know, well, I don't take it terribly seriously, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm real bad at business. I think I've said that plenty of times on the show before. I'm real bad at serious business. I like to go and hang out and have fun and look at crazy stuff. And I have two publisher meetings scheduled. Well, I have one officially scheduled. The other one was a promise that hasn't officially been, I don't have a time and date yet.
Right, right, right.
I
don't have times and dates for any of my pitches, and I've got three of them, and I have no times and dates for any of them, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because I'll just find the people while we're there.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. That's a hard question. I guess I don't try and balance that.
Right.
I think part of the experience is, I mean, unless I'm being paid to be there, you know, unless I'm there specifically to represent a thing at a booth or an event, I think I don't really care.
Right. I know. I think for us, we try to not schedule too much podcast stuff.
Yeah.
Like one of the things we have a couple nights will be the round tables, but that is pure fun for us. That's mm-hmm. exactly what we'd be doing anyways. Yeah. Hanging out with game designers talking about game design.
Right.
We just let the listeners hear about that mm-hmm. too, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, and honestly, when it comes to like, if a publisher wants to see a game, everything else gets dropped. Like,
well, of course.
That's all that matters.
Of course.
Like, the publishers, I want to see this game. I'm done doing it. Let's go. Let's
whatever
go.
I'm in the middle yeah. of, it will yep. wait. Whatever I'm about to go to, that's going to wait.
Right.
Yeah. With the exception maybe of our live show.
Well, yeah. Yeah. That.
But like, those death
any publisher match, worth their salt would understand.
Yeah. But those deathmatch panels that I'm scheduled to be a part of, if I'm in the middle of a pitch, I'm not going to.
Yeah,
I'm not
there's
go.
Enough people to fill those out. That yeah,
yeah.
And you know what? No one there would take any offense.
I can't
that
imagine they would
get it. So
yeah.
Chevy Dodd spammed us with a lot of questions.
Yeah, so skip
we're
that.
We're gonna ignore most of them, but right. we will say he asked if we'll both be trying to get a copy of his game Me Booty while he's there, and I know I'm gonna get a copy because I was promised one by Chevy because I did a bunch of playtesting for it. So it's a fun game, Rob. You should get a copy too.
Okay,
it's a game he's giving away that he made.
All right, Chevy, give me a copy of that.
Chevy Dodd, making stuff up. Chevy Dodd. Sparks Game says, if you get a new game idea while at Gen Con, how much effort do you put into it there or table it till home?
Depends on when that comes in. If it comes in while we're on a microphone talking to people, I will just beat that thing into the ground.
Yep.
But if it pops into my head while I'm not recording something or in a group of other designers, I will probably forget all about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have my notepad so I can throw some notes down to try and help me remember, but I'm not super concerned about it. Ideas happen all the time, you know,
yeah.
I try my best to write them down, but honestly, it's got, you know, that's always been our advice. You write them down, but it's gotten to the point where I have so many ideas running through my head all the time for games mm-hmm. that I sometimes purposely don't write the ideas down. And then a week, if I still remember them, I think, maybe there's something
maybe
to
that's
that.
That's legit, yeah.
You know, because so many times we ask ourselves, is there a game there? And most of the time the answer is no. Or there is, but it won't be fun.
Yeah.
So
right.
Matt Warden would like to know, how sad will you be that Matt Warden will not be there? Very sad.
Terribly
That's a
sad.
Good guy. So.
It's really the biggest tragedy of the whole event.
And you were one of the first people, Matt, that we
ever
interviewed.
So, ever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm bummed.
So yeah. We'll see you next year, hopefully. Daniel tweets, what is the best swag booth? Well, as we mentioned, there's not really any
not
good
much swag
booths.
Left.
The things you want to look for, like, a good example, Sparks Games, you just got a question from. Last year, they had to buy their game, which was like $10, I think, mm-hmm. get a free t-shirt, which I'm wearing conveniently right now.
Hey.
So that I consider that swag, mm-hmm. like buy this, get this free. Like those are the things I look for.
Yeah.
Like the good deals or, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes Mayfair will have it their thing. They'll have like $5 games or something or mm-hmm. buy three games, get one free or something that are all cheap. And mm-hmm. those are the things we go for.
Yep.
Matt Frazier says, how long before Gen Con launches its own Kickstarter alternative? I hope never, and here's why. Because Gen Con would launch that, and it would be terrible. Because
technology-wise, yeah. they can't...
Yeah.
They it's embarrassing.
Yeah. The one thing Gen Con cannot figure out... Well, there's a few things, but the big thing is technology.
Yeah. And we're very vocal and public about the fact that We love Gen Con, the event, and we have no patience for Gen Con, the organization.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You can't have terrible signups and then brag about how, oh, we got a record number of people this year. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Next year will also be a record number of people, and you'll still be unprepared for
you
it.
You need to be prepared for that kind of crap.
Because it's technologically just what you do.
Yeah. So. Why is it a horrible nightmare every time people want to buy badges and every time people want to register for hotels? Every year it gets worse and worse. And you know what, guys? The event's only going to get more popular. So right. You need to accommodate your customers.
It's true.
Come on.
Why would we do that?
Right. So
plus,
no,
I mean, yeah, they do some shady right. things.
So a Gen Con version of Kickstarter would be a terrible joke, and it's a completely unnecessary because Kickstarter already fills that need, yeah. And whatever spillover there is for other services, Indiegogo picks up most of that.
Here's something I want to know, and I think I sent you this. You said this to somebody. Why is there not a Kickstarter credit card yet?
Oh, yeah. We did talk about that. I have no idea.
I have an Amazon credit card, and mm-hmm. I get triple points when I buy something at Amazon. Mm-hmm. If there was a Kickstarter credit card where I got like triple or more points when I bought stuff in Kickstarter, hold me back, man. I would be all over that.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows what their business situation is. I agree with you. I think it's kind of a no-brainer for them.
All right. Now we're going to switch over to some website comments.
All right. Thanks for all those Twitter comments, gang.
Yeah. We've got a lot of them because we're backed up a little bit. So I'm just going to hop around in them.
Sure.
The most recent one was actually from Robin Gibson, and it cracked me up. It was on the episode Rob Returns and Beavers Be Damned, episode 113. And he said, okay, guys, I like you a lot, and I mean no disrespect. But seriously, Wikipedia is your friend. Spend more time there. So I don't know what he's referring to, but something I'm sure we said, I don't know about this. And he had said, hey, dummies, it's on Wikipedia. Well, Robin, I spend a lot of time on Wikipedia.
Too
like
much.
A lot of time.
Too much while you're supposed to be working.
That's not true. Anybody listening to this podcast from work would know that's not true. But I do. Wikipedia is one of my favorite websites. But when we're recording the show and it's like, we should look that up.
The internet ruins everything. The internet ruins everything like that. You cannot have an argument with anybody about anything anymore because the internet will answer the question. And that's no fun. It's no fun. No internet allowed other than checking notes and stuff for game pitches and
true
this kind of thing.
Story. From Kevin Yude, Kevin says, so in Bombardier your Beatles, you're dropping Beatles on the countryside.
Yep.
I know anytime I drop Beatles on the countryside, some of them land on their backs and flail around trying to flip over. I kept waiting for you to talk about that part of the game.
Oh.
It's really smart.
It is.
So here are two ideas. If a beetle lands on its back, there is some kind of die roll to get it to flip over and use its ability. Or a beetle lands on its back and it takes one turn to flip over and then can use its ability. I like Scott's dry erase idea, which somebody suggested to us. Well, I think that's a previous comment.
Okay.
The game Wits and Wagers has a dry erase cardboard discs. The practicing the pitch is the favorite part of any board game podcast. Thank you.
Thanks,
very nice,
man. That's
appreciate
great.
That.
Yeah, you know, I just assumed all the tokens that you'd be dropping would be double sided.
So did I, but that's a real good point.
Yeah, that's absolutely worth exploring. Or even if they're on their back, maybe they don't earn you as many points or something. Or you could choose to take the reduced points if they're on their back, or you could spend an extra turn to give them time to flip over. Yeah, there's a lot of options with that. Yeah.
Now, here's the aforementioned Scott comment.
Okay.
Scott Nicely says, hello, gentlemen, longtime listener, first-time replier. You get extra points for saying that.
Yeah.
Awesome. I like the idea for Bombardier Beatles. Try the old disc game, the game Disc Wars from FFG, and he links it to it on eBay.
Okay.
Many circle tokens of different sizes for very cheap.
Cool.
And also another idea you could try to tell who owned which Beatles would be to have glossy paper that you could write on with a marker so that you would know which Beatles were yours.
Okay, sure.
Keep up the good work, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
So I guess that's all the ones we had. I thought we had a lot more, but Rob just cut out a super awkward moment that may or may not have ended up at the end of the show where I was reading one and I was like, dude, I think I've read this before.
Well, now good. I have to put it at the end of the show.
Yeah. It's good, though, when that happens because that reminds us, like, when you read it and you're like, I've read this before, you know why. Because you're like, yeah, this was a really good comment. You know, so here's the deal, guys. We have sometimes trouble. I know why. I know now why I thought there were so many more things. Because there's a ton of emails. That's why.
Oh, that's why.
Yes. Okay. So, hey, emails. All right. Let's hop back here. Well, he got one email from John Morgan, and he asked, the email was titled Credit Due. And he said, hey, why don't you guys credit the person who writes your sweet theme song?
Oh,
he didn't say sweet theme song.
It's DJ Dr. Rock.
Yes. Well, that's what I said. DJ Dr. Rock has a different name.
He's DJ Dr. Rock.
Oh, he doesn't have a different name.
He does, okay. No, he is DJ Dr. Rock.
He does not need to be credited because he does not exist.
What do you mean? He wrote that song.
He wrote that song, and he said, "Please don't credit me. I don't ever want to be credited."
He's a mysterious character. That's all. That's all that can be said about DJ Dr. Rock.
Well, that is great.
So yeah, DJ Dr. Rock wrote the BTG theme. He's done a few other pieces for us creatively in the past. He doesn't work a lot, but now and then he gets it together. So I'll pass on your. I don't think he listens to the show. Because, you know, he's an artist. He doesn't dwell on old product. So I'll pass along his comments, though, to him. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
An email here from Matt Golick. Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. Hey. Yeah, you guys are awesome with that. I know I've missed a couple of recent calls for questions, but I've got one now, so I thought I'd send it. Have you two formed an LLC, either for podcasting or game design? A friend and I do some game design, and we hope to do more in the future, but wonder if an LLC is something for us to consider. What's your thoughts on an LLC? Finally, I was just out on a walk the other day listening to the podcast, How to Sell Stuff, and thinking about what you do, thinking about what a professional job you do. Thank you. Also, your theme song rocks. I wish I had a 3-minute extended dance mix. We will pass all those thoughts along to Mr. Dr. Rock. LLC. I have an LLC. Rob doesn't.
Because I haven't made any money doing anything
yet. Had an LLC previous to this, which is the main reason I have an LLC, I've kept it open because of this stuff.
Sure.
And I will continue to. And I'm sure if you sell a game or you print a game yourself, you're going to need to bite the bullet and do that.
Yeah.
You really should. An LLC protects you. Not 100%. But it's better than nothing, and I would always recommend it. They're really easy to open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did it. I've had an LLC for probably 15 years now, so not that long. Probably 10 years now. I made that up. So, anyways, highly recommend doing that. It's not expensive. I think I pay $25 a year to keep it open, and it allows me to write a bunch of stuff off on my taxes legally. Things that I write off are legal expenses. They're not like fake stuff. But I do recommend, in case the IRS is listening, but I do recommend that because, you know, like when I did my Kickstarter, it allowed me to write some of that off, but it also allowed me an easy way to funnel the profits back to myself to put on my taxes. It was just a really easy way to handle that.
Yeah.
So I recommend that personally. I don't know if you have any different thoughts.
I haven't been in a position yet where I really feel like I needed that protection or needed that because I've never earned any money from anything I've ever done. So the only thing that I would have ever used my LLC to do would be to maybe write off the cost of, or not write off, but deduct the cost of a computer or something. But then because of Michigan taxes, I'd have to pay taxes on that computer for the rest of my life.
Well, yeah. I think with a little LLC, you don't have to.
Well, anyway, I don't know how the laws are working, the tax laws. But anyway.
And that may have changed today, too.
That may have changed today. Election day. Yeah. Not election day, or voting day. Anyway.
Voting day.
Yeah, I'm just lazy, and I've never made any money off of anything I've ever done, period. So I just haven't felt the need to take that step yet. Cool. But I should eventually.
Next email is from Matt Kirk. Hey guys, I'm a fairly new listener, and I came across you guys while looking for a general board gaming podcast. But man, am I happy that I did.
Yay.
I had always been interested in game development, but had figured that the only way to get into this was to work for a big company. But after this podcast and something from nothing, I've been inspired to slowly work my way into this as a passion project alongside my career.
Good.
So, yeah, that's a great way to approach it.
Absolutely.
Don't put all your balls in one court. Seriously. No, really. Don't.
Eggs in one basket.
Balls in one court. It's the same thing.
That's the balls
Marbles
in your
in one
court.
Bag. No, put all your balls in
the
one court.
The expression is, the balls in your court, Jason, means the decision's up to you.
But if you had a racquetball court, right, and 10 people.
It's not about racquetball. It's about baseball, basketball.
You have 10 racquetball courts, okay, and you have 10 balls, and you have 20 people who want to play racquetball, but you have all your balls in one room. No, not everybody can play racquetball.
I get what you're saying, but who plays racquetball?
People who play racquetball.
It's an expression that comes from basketball.
I get what you're saying,
anyway.
But I created a new expression that is more awesome. Okay.
All right, fine.
Before I get to my actual question, I have a suggestion for Rob, don't we all?
Oh, man, it's pick on Rob Day.
Now, I know you're putting Rocket Records on hold and putting the offset card system to rest, but I recently watched your Deathmatch episode and was reminded of a different way to approach combining cards. Now, you're familiar with the game Gloom. If you aren't, I highly suggest it. The game has a wonderful system of transparent cards that overlay over the top of one another. I know in your existing system that wouldn't work, but just some food for thought.
Sure.
Or is that not a real expression?
I've heard of Gloom. I haven't played it. A lot of people have a lot of good stuff to say about it. I know I've looked at it before, and the clear cards are very cool.
Yes, they are. And that can, he did say he has no idea where you would get that done, and neither do I, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
This brings me to my main question. Over and over, I hear design the games you want to play. I love that advice. But the games I like to play tend to either have a lot of components or ones like the above idea that have a lot of components or ones like above that I wouldn't know how to make for the life of me.
The clear cards, yeah.
Yeah, with the clear cards. This is because I'm drawn into either really unique ways to play or highly complex and strategic games. Thus, in early design, I get overwhelmed and discouraged when I can imagine what my game would look like, but cannot figure out how to prototype to begin with. Yeah, yeah. And even if I could, the cost of production would be impossibly high for an indie designer to pitch. I know I should think about the feasibility of productions. I shouldn't think about the feasibility of production, only the process, but I find myself losing interest when I come to a conclusion that the game doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell.
Okay.
A little bit more. I can't be alone in this, and I'm wondering, what do you do to get past these early moments of discouragement, or even better, to avoid them altogether? Anyways, I apologize for the long-winded email, but yeah, we don't mind.
That's fine.
Please.
Okay.
All means.
So you and I are kind of lucky, Jason, that we like smaller, simpler games, and that's what excites us, and so that's kind of what we often end up trying to design. You like slightly bigger stuff than I do on average, and so you more often go bigger than I do, but actually lately it's kind of been the other way, come to think of it. Anyway, so you say that that it's unrealistic that anybody would ever publish this game with a whole lot of pieces. Well, that's not true, because you like games with a lot of pieces because somebody else at some point in the past published a game with a lot of pieces and a lot of components.
Yep. Okay,
those games exist. So don't say that no one would ever publish that, because plenty of publishers already have published a lot of games with a lot of components. Look at anything that Fantasy Flight puts out and how much they put in that box. All kinds of crazy custom. I mean, what you have to work on then is making sure, number one, that the game is fun, okay? And then you need to work hard. Once you're happy with it, once you know that it's a fun game, you have to work hard to get it in front of the right kind of people, the right kind of publishers who are capable of producing something right on that scale. That's going to be a challenge. That means you have to go straight for bigger publishers and might have to bypass some of the smaller indie guys. So it's a harder road to hoe. Man, we're having a hard
time
with
expressions. That's not even a real expression, Rob.
Harder row to hoe. We're having a hard time. Ah. Oh, my gosh. My mouth is messed up tonight. I'm just still so stressed out about these audio issues we've been having recording. Technological gaga.
It doesn't say card full again, does
it?
No,
it doesn't. Okay.
That's good. So
anyway, don't get discouraged.
Here's the thing, too. A lot of the indie publishers are publishing bigger games now.
Well, that's true. It's getting bigger.
I'm working on I have a game idea that I will not allow myself to look at until after Gen Con, but it's going to have custom dice in it. And a year ago, I would have said custom dice will make sure a game doesn't get made. But I've seen enough games get made now with custom dice.
Yeah.
That I don't think that's true. Sure. So because of that, you know, dream big. But there are, just look at some of the games out there that are bigger that are getting put out by, I mean, like Crash Games, Pater, that is not a small game.
No, right. It's
you
true.
Know? And Kickstarter allows them to put these huge games out, you know, because they can sell them in mass and they can print them cheaper. And, you know.
Did you see Chaos Ball? Chaos Ball? Bowl?
Chaos Ball, yeah.
Yeah. Holy crap. I mean, just sprawling.
Right.
Sprawling. There's so many pieces and components and things. And they made it. They did it all with Kickstarter. And people apparently love that game. I haven't played it, but yeah.
Now, will you have a harder time finding a publisher? Absolutely.
Yes, you will.
But
it's
make it to a thing like an Unpub. Or something like that, or the Unpub. If you show a game like that there, or in one of the Unpub places at any convention, it's way more likely to get noticed than if you're just saying, I have a pitch for this game, it's a huge game, there's lots of stuff happening.
And, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that can be a hard sell, right, to a publisher. Mm-hmm. But when they see it, and they see that it's working, and you're playing it with people, and people are start to talk about it, people will take a risk on you. You know, I don't think you have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So... we're out of questions now, and that's great. But the one thing I want to say is, you know, we've been having trouble keeping these questions organized because we're not great at organization. It's not our strong suit.
Also, we're getting a lot more than we ever have before.
Yeah, which is great.
Really exciting.
Great. But it also makes it hard to organize. And, you know, you get tired of hearing our voices all the time. So we had this cool idea.
Yeah.
And I stole this idea from another podcast, but it's made in Australia, so whatever. Screw those guys. And their podcast is way bigger than us, and they have a plus club, and they make bajillions of dollars. It's like their full-time job. So we will gladly steal
your idea, for sure.
So we set up a Google Voice number with a voicemail.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, builders, I tell you, when you want to leave a comment now, you could just write a comment.
Feel free.
Or, yeah, and that's great.
Send us an email, Twitter, whatever.
Or. You can dial 770-TELL-BTG. And that's 770-TELL-BTG. Or 770-835-5284.
All right.
That's right. You leave a message.
That's so cool. And we'll be able to play those on the show.
Yeah.
And respond.
We'll just play those right on the show.
Still don't really know yet how we're going to do that. Technology problems. Yep. But we'll figure it out.
We will figure it out, and it's going
to
be awesome.
Even if I have to edit it in post, man, my tongue is a mess.
Which actually shouldn't be that difficult. So, right. Yeah, so we're pretty excited about that.
Yes. 770-TEL-BTG.
Yep. And we'll start flashing that on every episode to try and get you guys to do it. But it's a chance to have your voice on the show and to give some feedback and some stuff like that. And then we can edit what you're saying. So unless you swear, in which case we will edit what you're saying. But even if you tell us you think we're terrible, we'll probably still play it on the air because we kind of think that's
Okay. Now, honestly, no promises. We might edit some of those calls just to keep them compact and to the point, you know. So we don't want to pretend that we're going to get it all, you know, edit free. But we need to manage that a little bit, okay? Yeah. That said, we'll do our best to make sure we include everything you say, whatever we can address, we would love to, and we're excited about that very much. So 770-TEL-BTG.
Make sure to say your name and your and who you are, and
we'll have to bleep out any personal data other than your name, though.
Yes, so, or any cursing.
Right, so. We don't want your phone number. We promise we won't say your phone number, your personal email address, or anything like that out there on the show. So, last thing here, plugs. Remember, for Gen Con, we've got our big live show. Don't have the event ID up here right at our fingertips because of our technology problems tonight, so sorry about that. But look for us. It's going to be on Saturday at 2 p.m. in the Crown Plaza.
And if you just search "Building the Game Live," it'll come up. Or I think just "Building the Game," you'll see it in there. So do that. Mm-hmm. We've got our fun iron design thing we're doing with Matt and Ben and Andy,
right.
Also including Matt, Jason, and Stephanie as our judges, and we're going to be out there doing that. We think Friday night sometime. We think.
Mm-hmm.
No promises. It could happen at a different time. It could get scrapped altogether. We just don't know.
Yeah. It's kind of free form.
There's a lot of people involved. It's free form. It's going to be fun. Make sure you're following us on Twitter because I promise we will be tweeting about that. And so will the other people.
Yeah.
We're going to require them to. And between us all, we got lots of followers that hopefully will be there and be listening and be interested. So,
yeah.
Also, we're going to have some roundtable discussions for designers if you're interested. So I think Thursday and Friday will be the nights. Again, that could change, but that's the plan right now. We'll get some fun designers in the room together, hanging out, chit-chatting and stuff.
We'll set up the mics and just record and see how the conversation goes, where it goes.
Yep. And other than that, the Unpub area is going to be the best place to find us. Every night we'll be in the Unpub area late.
Yep.
Playing games, testing stuff. I mean, that's where you can find us for sure.
For sure.
So do that, please, because we want to play games with you guys. You know, we want to do stuff.
Right.
Coming up, early this week, the Wednesday before Gen Con, right after this post, 2 days later, we've got a super fun bonus episode. Mm-hmm. It'll be short and sweet, but it's got some really good info in it, and you should check it out.
Just check it out. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. So thanks everybody for listening. Oh, don't forget our contest. Leave us a review on iTunes. Leave us a review on iTunes.
You already got some entries.
Got some. Oh, good.
Could use some more.
Send us an email telling us what your name is on iTunes so that we can associate that with the review. Then at the end of August, you have till the end of August to get all these in. At the end of August, we'll draw all the names out of a hat and the winner will get a copy of Castle Dice.
Yep.
Brand new in shrink sent out to you.
Yep. Free of charge.
Free of charge. So check that out. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Well, it doesn't have to be 5-star review, but those are preferred.
Right.
Okay. So thank you again for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com, or you can give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 770-TEL-BTG. You can follow us on Twitter at podcastbtg. Jason is at J.A. Slingerland, and I'm at poorly_design. Like us on Facebook. Hit us on iTunes. Come back next week. Next week's episode is going to be the recording of our live show from Gen Con, so if you can't make it, you'll still get to hear the audio. You'll miss out on some of the super fun stuff, but you'll still be able to hear the joy that we've all experienced. And you can come on back every week after that. We're going to keep on doing this. You know, technology problems be darned.
That's right. Be damned like beavers.
There you go. Good night.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.
Next time on Building the Game.
The defender can block the attack by playing a card with the defensive symbol in the upper corner. I feel like we've read this one before.
I think you read this one before,
let's just skip this one, okay? Pretend I didn't say that.